Blog Talk Radio.
Here comes the big bad wolf.
It's Wednesday again, and it's the Cristo Radio Show. It's a scorcher here in New York today, and it's not even hot yet. My God, it's so humid. It's so still. It's probably time for the garbage collectors to go on strike. They like to do that whenever it's brutally hot, so we can all just enjoy the lovely aromas of the city. But I love living here, so what the heck? That's the price you got to pay. So what's in season right now? That's the little segment I do in the beginning of the show. We got a great guest coming up, though, everybody, just so you know. But what's in season right now? You know, there's so many websites out there that you can just log on to. Epicurious has a good one. A really nice one that I found right now is www.fruitsandveggiesmorematters.org. And they've got it all broken down. So rather than me go down the list from A to Z, which it starts with Anaheim chilies and it gets to boysenberries and breadfruit and corn and Chinese long beans and olala berries for you out there and ong choy spinach, as you guys were wondering when that ong choy spinach season was going to finally kick in. Well, it's here now. Winged beans. You've probably like been waiting all year long for those winged beans, but they're happening right now. Champagne grapes. So this list is just awesome. Just check it out. It's nice to see what's in season. It's nice to cook what's in season. It's obviously, you know, going to be more local in your area. It's going to taste better. It's going to be more fresh. It's going to be more economical. You're helping local farmers. There you go. What's in season right now? What's fresh and tasty? Now, my grilling tip. I don't really have much of a grilling tip. What's new with that? But I'm going to tell you, it's going to be the summer of steaks. Everybody's doing it. I'm going to do it, too. We're going to just go down and try every kind of steak, every way of cooking steak, reverse searing steaks, you name it. It's going to be the summer of steaks. In fact, you're going to see a lot of Charbroil All-Stars, some of my colleagues, we're all going to be doing that this summer. So you're going to be seeing that happening a lot. Now, what's cooking in my kitchen? Veggies, of course. It's veggie time. It's summer. I made some calabacitos just the other day. I don't know if you saw them on Facebook or on my blog, www.alittlebitofcristo.blogspot.com. You can check out that. Calabacitos was a favorite dish of my youth. And that just segues right into Gotta Feed the Kid because he eats whatever I make. So there you go. That's what's going on here in Cristo world. But we've got an exciting guest. He's a colleague of mine, a Charbroil All-Star. He's the original Grillin' Fool, not to be confused with some of those other Grillin' Fools that came on later, kind of like the Temptations. You've got the real Temptations. Then you've got those other guys that came on later. Well, this is the original Grillin' Fool. He was originally sent off to college when he was 22 years ago they sent him off, and they packed him away with a grill. And he overcooked, undercooked, and he burned every piece of meat he could find. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, Scott Gregory Thomas. Hey, Scott, you there?
I am here. How are you?
Not bad at all. How are you doing?
I am fantastic, despite I've got the same weather pattern here. I think it's going to be 95 today and about 90% humidity. Brutal.
Oh, man, I've been through Missouri, and I just, my mind, I just see trees and grass, and that just exhales more humidity when you see that. It's like all the greenery
is so
beautiful.
I'll tell you this, though. Our nights have been nice. I mean, even last night was just beautiful. It was 95 yesterday. So it's still not quite, the nights are still getting cool enough where, you know, it's still plenty. It's really good to be around the grill, you know, because I'm actually a believer of the really hot summers, the really meat of the summer. I grill the least amount during those times. I grill a lot more in the winter and the fall and the spring than I do in those, you know, doldrums of summer, you know, those August nights where it's still 90 degrees at 8 o'clock.
No, I hear you on that. I, you know, a lot of my neighbors around here know that I have this grill up on the roof and everything. They're asking me all the time, you're grilling. I'm like, no way. It's scorching hot up there right now. There's
right.
Absolutely no way.
It's 95 degrees outside. Let's go build a fire and then stand next to it. Yeah, no.
No. Let's go build a fire in a big metal object.
It's right.
Even more united.
Exactly. Yeah. So no, I'm with you, man. I don't grill nearly as often when it gets super hot. But right now I got cool evenings, so I'm doing as much grilling as I can right now. I might do something crazy with a steak tonight, a summer steak. How about planking a steak?
Planking a steak would be interesting. No,
yeah,
How would you do that? Would it be like a reverse sear process, or what would you do to plank?
It's basically a reverse sear with a plank thrown in. I mean, you know. So I'm gonna get a little crazy with the Cheese Whiz tonight. Maybe head over to my local butcher, their Matikers, and pick up a couple of steaks and throw them on a couple of planks.
Now, you know, Scott, you've got way more grilling experience than I do. So this is a good question to ask, and I want to know, and I'm sure some readers want to know. Cedar planks are pretty common, but do people use any other kind of a plank? Could you just go get an untreated piece of really good wood from somebody and use that as a plank?
Yeah, you could. The problem with that is that it almost has to be the right thickness. You know, you notice if you go out and buy the planks, there are certain thickness and a certain size that make it ideal for grilling. So if you get an untreated 2x4, you know, it's going to be too narrow for put anything on top other than maybe scallops or shrimp, but too thick, and it may not smolder the way you want it to. So go buy – well, here, there's a company that I deal with called OutdoorGourmet.com, and they have this deal on planks. If you go – here in St. Louis, if I go to buy planks at a store, it's 2 for $10. It's $5 a plank. And more than 90% of the time, I pitch them after I use them once. I usually don't you know, I don't reuse them unless I just use them for really quick, like scallops or something like that. But this Outdoor Gourmet, it's like you get 30 planks for $38, and it's free shipping. So it's like a buck and a quarter a plank. And they've got
cedar. Well, I sure hope
cedar.
OutdoorGourmet.com is listening.
I hope so. But they got cedar. They got maple, which is my favorite is maple. They got alder. They got oak. They got cherry. They got like six different planks. Because the cedar can be like too powerful for me, too potent sometimes. So I really like the sweeter maple flavor myself. But yeah, I mean cedar is the king of planking. But you don't have to just stick with cedar, and you also don't have to just do salmon. You know, everybody thinks they got to plank something that's going to be salmon. I planked a beef tenderloin for Christmas last year.
And that's what everybody thinks. Yeah. They think salmon and cedar, and that's it. And that's it. Doors closed. Now,
right.
I can see why they, you know, because cedar's very perfumey. It's kind of a stronger smell. Salmon is strong-ish, so it can handle
right.
that. But to find out that there's all these other woods out there, that opens up some avenues.
Exactly.
Exciting for me.
You know, and here's another one. So, you know, you have the gas grill up on the roof, and I have a gas grill and a charcoal grill. And, you know, every year I use the charcoal grill a little less because, you know, I got three kids. You know, one's the oldest is 6 and the youngest is 1. So I the one thing I miss from my gas grill is I don't get as much smoke as I get from a charcoal grill. I throw in a plank, and boom, I got all the smoke I want on my gas grill, and, you know, I got it fast because, like, I cedar planked some really thick pork chops. Yeah, cedar or maple plank. I don't know where. Maybe it might have even used alder, but like, you know, those big meaty porterhouse pork chops, good inch and a half thick, and I planked them, and I did it on a little portable gas grill, a little charbroil grill to go, and they were fantastic. And I got and it cooked in like, you know, 35, 40 minutes, and, you know, and dinner on the table before my kids went to bed, that kind of thing. So,
well, you know,
yeah,
if you guys
love...
are paying attention, if you're paying attention out there, you heard that Scott's got a few kids. He's Irish, and he's not even halfway done yet. So he's got
to no, actually, my wife is Irish Catholic. She's not halfway done. I think she's going to have the rest of those kids with somebody else. I'm not sure I can handle anymore.
You got a handful as it is, my God. And then they
oh, my
God.
She got out of an emergency C-section. And I'm not talking emergency like, oh, okay, we need to have an emergency C-section. No, like we're running down the hall to have a C-section with this last child. And she was out of the anesthesia in an hour and says, you know, I think we should have a fourth one. I nearly crapped myself when she said that.
Hey, you've got an event coming up this weekend. Aren't you going to be grilling at a farmer's market?
Yeah, we got a little we like to do grilling demos a lot. And basically, you know, the whole shtick of what Grillin' Fools is that we're step-by-step, picture-by-picture, foolproof instructions so that, you know, you don't make the many thousands of mistakes that we have over the years. And so I think these demos really help to remove that intimidation factor and say, hey, you know, it's not hard to do this. It's really, really easy, in fact. And, you know, you just kind of have to step away and go, yes, that grill is used, can be used for more than just burgers and brats. And, you know, so we're going to go out to the Ferguson Farmers Market. I think we're going to get there about 8. I think we should get everything set up and be starting about 9. We're going to go an hour and a half, 2 hours. We're going to do the grilled lettuce. Some lettuce is in season right now, so we're going to grill salad. Yeah, most people don't think you can do that, but you can actually grill salad. We're going to do some flat iron steaks, and we're going to do a pull-apart bacon cheddar bread that just blow your mind how good that thing is.
That sounds awesome. Now, this is grillinfools.com. It's just G-R-I-L-L-I-N, fools, F-O-O-L-S.com. Easy to remember website. People log on, check it out. He's not kidding when it's step by step by step by step. You don't even need words. You just see what's happening right there every single step of the way. And it's awesome. It's so informative. I know a lot of people, you know, learn visually. I know I'm a visual learner, but it's a lot
right.
easier than listening to someone say, you know, make sure it's got an internal temperature of 48 C.
Well, we prefer the show don't. We prefer show rather than tell. Yeah.
Right.
So what we do is it's myself and my father and my cousin. There's three of us, three grilling fools. And I told them, I said, don't ever pre-write your posts because let the pictures tell the story and then write around the picture. So that, you know, because if you have a preconceived idea of what's going to happen, and then, you know, something happens. When we grill, you're not doing it inside on a stove or in an oven. You don't set it to 300 and it stays there. You know, temperatures spike, temperatures drop. Things can happen. You know, the weather outside can have a big impact on what you're doing. So things change. There's lots of improvisation.
Hello?
So, hello?
Yeah. Sound like things
you
just
there?
Faded there for a second. Yeah.
Okay. So I said there's lots of improvisation.
Like,
so.
Like we went into a dead zone for a sec there, right? So.
I didn't hear it. I was jabbering.
Oh, okay. No.
I was yammering on, so I don't know. I didn't hear it.
Okay. Anyway, let's go back to your father for a second. There, long before I ever even met you, I had who should be the president of my fan club, your father, Greg Thomas.
He
was always right there. He was one of my original fans and followers on my chef page and on Facebook. And it was so shocking and surprising and coincidental when we both became Charbroil All-Stars, and sure enough, your dad was Greg Thomas.
Yeah, he was jealous, man. When I told him, I said, yeah, we're going down. Here's these guys. And he goes, I may have used an expletive, but he said, oh, crap, you're going to go hang out with Cristo? Oh, my, you know, he goes, I love that guy. And I was like, Dad, is there something you need to tell me? Are you stalking this person? What's going on? He goes, no, this guy's website, it's great, man. And so, yeah, that's how I didn't know you were. I mean, I knew from All-Stars, but he never mentioned you. And he was like, oh, you got to see this guy's website. I'm like, okay, yeah, I've seen it now.
Yep,
yeah, Dad's
a
big fan.
Yeah, no, he's a great fan. Fantastic fan. So you do a lot of charcoal. you do a lot of, you're now doing some of the gas a little bit, but you also, you enter contests. You're on your local station.
No, I don't enter.
You don't enter contests?
I do not. We do not compete. We have a contest. So we do every year. We have the Backyard Barbecue Bash. We just don't have time to do the competitions, but we a big thing of what we do is we like to give back, and it's very important to help others. And so what we do is we have every year a barbecue contest, and our charities are our first responders and military. So, we things that deal with police and firefighters and EMTs and also like military, like we've supported Wounded Warrior in the past and the Fisher House and local fire departments and things like that. So, we don't compete. We just don't have time for it. I can't keep up with everything I've got going on and to compete.
How many people show up
contest.
To that event? That it's grown and grown and grown. How many people come now?
Yeah, we had 27 teams last year. But it was a new location last year, so we kind of lost some teams. But I think we're going to get close to double that this year. And we the first year we raised like $600 after all the bills, and then we didn't feel like that was enough, so we actually pulled money out of our own pocket and made it $1,000 to charity. And then last year was the fourth annual, and we raised $10,000. And
nice.
We had a terrible day. It rained all over St. Louis. We got barely any drops, but most of the area was covered in rain, and so our turnout was crap because people just assumed it was raining there too. And then, so we still raised a good chunk of money. We left some money on the table because of the weather. And this year we plan on really really crushing that number. So
nice.
Maryville, Illinois. It's October 10th or 11th. It's the second Saturday in October. And it's great time. We have a Kreftig beer sponsoring it. We're going to have live music. We'll have stuff for the kids to do. They can get their picture taken in the fire truck or, wearing a helmet. There'll be plenty of beer and stuff for the adults. And we're looking to expand. And we have a new twist this year that's going to be something that I can't reveal yet that's going to make it the most original barbecue contest in the country. But I can't tell
you. Wow. Well, come on. Well, okay.
Sorry, but I will let you know, and if you guys want to talk about it, I can't let you know for another about 6 weeks. So,
all right, we'll have to have you back on, or maybe I'll get a follow up. You'll call in, maybe we'll figure something out.
Right, okay.
The Ferguson Farmers Market this weekend is going to be cool because you didn't mention all the free samples. I think people need to know that there's just going to be tons of free samples going on, right?
Well, we cook it and we hand it out, man, and we do so many of these that we actually get it down to the science. So, with three of us, one of us will be working on one of the recipes and showing people how to do it step by step, and then somebody else will be working on half of the ingredients for the next one, so that when we start talking about the next recipe, we're handing out samples like, here's what we're gonna be grilling right now, here's what it's gonna taste like, here's what it tastes like, and here, let me show you how to do that. So it's really, they're tasting it as they're watching it happen. So it really kind of hammers home, what's going on. So looking forward to that one. It's the first time we've done one at Ferguson's Farmers Market. And it's a great little area. It's just kind of sprouted up in North St. Louis that is just blossoming. And it's great. It's a vibrant location again. And I'm really happy to be up there.
I think people should get out there and check out this bacon cheddar bread. It's such a unique idea, and it's so easy to do, and people are going to love it. You basically just cross-hatch a loaf of bread, bigger the better, right?
Load it
up
big round.
Bacon. Yep. You can load it up with whatever you want to load it up with, cheese. If you don't want to put bacon, you can put some broccoli in there, whatever you want, right?
Right, you could do that, absolutely. You can make that vegetarian. And then I think a little butter and some ranch dressing mix, just like a teaspoon of that, and you spread that butter all over it. So it's really healthy. And then you can throw it in the oven, because this was adapted from an inside recipe, but it's so much better on the grill. And you throw it on the grill and you leave it open, or you close it up with foil for a little bit, and then open it up at the end. And let that cheese will brown on the top and just caramelize. Oh my God, yeah, they don't. These things do not last. I did two of them for the Super Bowl. I put the first one out, and I mean to tell you, it was gone. I mean, gone. like people were like, why isn't that second one in the oven already? Because I was going to wait to halftime to do the second one. And they're like,
no, I've been
you're going to do
that
second
around
one.
A lot. This is such a fantastic idea. It's like the Hasselback of breads. You know, when people are doing the Hasselback potato where you kind of slice that potato. This is the latest thing. Now, it's such a great party idea. I'm telling you, people need to just check it out. It's so cool. Now, what kind of dressing are you going to put on your grilled romaine or your grilled salad? I love grilled salad. I like my.
You know what? My go-to for the salad, you know, I just take, you know, the romaine and you peel off the really leafy outer leaves, right? Because they're just going to wilt, and you peel them out so you get basically this big hearts romaine. Slice it down the middle. Drizzle olive oil, salt, pepper, a little granulated garlic. That's it. I grill it, and when I pull it off the grill, I just sprinkle some Asiago cheese on it. That's kind of my go-to. But I've done a gorgonzola dressing on it. I've done a warm bacon vinaigrette, you know. But my go-to, because it's simple, you know. I mean, just those little Asiago cheese, grated Asiago, and I'm done. And it's still just fantastic like that. But obviously, you can get crazy. I think I did one. I did a kale. I sold out to the kale revolution, you know. Everybody's kale, and I'm like, I hate, you know, it's not that I hate it, I just hate hearing about it. So I did something. I used just a Caesar dressing on it, and that came out, grilled kale Caesar came out really well.
That sounds so good. You know what? And as you were saying that, I was just thinking how the grilled smokiness, the real kind of strong bitter taste of the kale, even some of that Asiago if you want to, but a squeeze of lime right there at the very last. That would just wake kale right up. That would be so.
You know,
tasty.
And somebody told me that when they do their romaine, they do a squeeze of lemon or something on there. And I was like, you know, I never thought about that, but I think I might have to give that a try.
Yeah, that just wakes it right up. You know, in place of vinegar, you got the acid.
Right.
You're not.
Right.
Nice tasty little thing. Now you've been posting a lot of beef knowledge lately. I'm looking at your Facebook page here, Grilling Fools on Facebook.
Right.
People don't
those
really
infographics
are
great.
It's really nice.
Right.
People don't really understand all these different cuts. You know, you go to the grocery store and there's shell steak, T-bone steak if you're lucky, you know, porterhouse. There's just different things. But there's so many other cuts out there.
Right.
People don't really, you know, they're nice, affordable.
Just in the steak family, flank, skirt, you know, London broil. I mean, these are all things you can do things with that are fantastic and they're a lot cheaper. Flat iron steaks are a lot cheaper than your regular steak cuts, like a flat iron, or have you ever heard of Terrace Major or a petite tender, petite shoulder tender? Like, they're all the same thing.
Hmm.
It's fantastic. It's got my second favorite steak being a ribeye, but it's considered the second most tender cut of meat. That and the flat iron are kind of both think they're the second most tender cut. As second to the filet, but it's got more fat in it, so it's got more flavor, and they're a lot cheaper than if you can find them. I think I've been single-handedly trying to raise the prices and drop the availability of these cuts of steak because I keep telling people to go buy them. But the Terrace Major is just incredible. And what's funny is that the flat iron is made out of two muscles, and one of the two muscles is the Terrace Minor, so they've come from like right next to each other. And which is why they kind of rival each other. But one's obviously long and flat, and the other one's kind of torpedo shaped. And what the really cool thing about that petite tender or Terrace Major is that when it grills, it gets thicker. It puffs up almost 50%. It's
now if someone
weird.
Goes to their butcher shop or they're going to the grocery store, they're not going to see something called Terrace Major written on the package and they're not right. Or they're not going to see petite tender either. I've never seen that. What would
petite,
they be asking
petite
for?
Petite tender or petite tender or petite shoulder tender is what you ask for, or just tell them it's a Terrace Major muscle is what it is. There's only two per cow, so there's not many. I have one of the grocery store chains locally carries them backpacked straight from the the vendor, so to speak. So I see them here. They're here all the time. I love them. I buy them in bulk because they're super cheap. They're not huge. You're not going to get one more than about 12 ounces. You know, I mean, I've seen them as big as 16 ounces, but that's very rare. Usually about 12 ounces or a smaller portion, but that's okay. I think they're probably a perfect portion. You know, I mean, you shouldn't be, that's actually for a lot of people, that's a lot, but, You know, that the flat irons are huge, and you can take a flat iron and feed two or three, four people with one of those. They're not very thick, so you don't want to cross-hatch them with grill marks, because you'll take it straight to medium or medium well. So you want to just single hatch, you know, just get a sear, you know, and then flip. Don't sear and then rotate, flip, sear and rotate. Just sear, flip, sear, and you're pretty much done.
And if anyone wants to know what all that is, log on to the website there, and you'll see that sear, flip, sear, flip, sear, flip, step by step by step by step.
That's right.
Get all broken down. You made some tri-tip tacos the other day, right? You know, tri-tips, the London Broil, all of those are good if you're going to, like, cut them up into fajitas, stuff like that. Those are tasty cuts. You know, people,
right.
I think everyone thinks London Broil, the first thing they pop in their mind is pepper steak, right? That's the most common thing that people ever did with a London Broil, right?
Right.
Pepper steak.
You know, and that tri-tip, it's just sirloin. But it's more, and sirloin's tough and not that flavor. It doesn't have a lot of fat in it. But for some reason, the tri-tip is really, because it's a roast, you don't cook it hot and fast, so it allows it to kind of, you know, lose some of that toughness as you cook it. I like to smoke mine for an hour and then do a quick sear on them and then take them in, slice against the grain, and you know, it's fantastic. It's a great way to serve, you know, a people's steak without, you know, breaking the bank. Tri-tip is fantastic.
Well, you know, and what you're doing there's a little bit of science happening. The smoking is causing all of those really rigid fibers and all that to relax. They're
right.
You know, it's softening them up. They're relaxing. Because when you take a piece of meat like that and you throw it right on a hot fire, it contracts. And that's why you're getting that tight meat. It's tightening up. And then ultimately, it's going to tighten up so much, it's going to squeeze its own juice out. So that's why those kinds of cuts end up dry and tough, because they weren't cooked low and slow so they could relax. And where in this case, the smoking does that. It helps the meat relax a little bit. Then you give it the nice crispy char.
That's right. The reverse sear, man. Big fan. Just about anything, I reverse sear.
Reverse sear is a very popular thing. We've got a couple minutes left here. Can you tell everybody what reverse sear is exactly,
right,
if they wanted to go out and do it today?
So a lot of people, what they do is when they cook, and there's a variety of meat, is they will sear it to get those nice, you know, that nice browning and the caramelization of the proteins, and that's good. It's a nice flavor crust on the outside. And then they slide it over to the side of the grill, and they smoke it to infuse that smoke flavor. Problem is, once you seared it, the outside temperature of that meat got too high for it to really absorb much smoke flavor. So you're really wasting the smoke wood, which is expensive. You're wasting that time. You know, you're better off to reverse that. So you smoke it first. You get that flavor, and you get that smoke flavor infused into it, and then you put it over and sear it over that hot fire. So now you got that smoke flavor. Now you got the browning, the caramelization of the outside, that flavor crust, and you just have extra layers of flavor there. Instead of just a flavor crust and a tiny hint of smoke, because you seal the outside of that meat basically from taking on any smoke. So that's the reverse sear method. And I use it for pork tenderloin, pork loin. I use it for beef tenderloin. I use it for everything. I don't do it on steaks really that often, because I like my steaks super rare. So it's just sear, done. You know what I mean? I don't need to bake it at all. So
when you're reverse searing, say if you did a steak, are you going to end up with you have no choice of having a well-done steak, or would you be able to get a medium rare out of it?
No, you want to smoke it really, you know, low temp. You know, you don't want to be smoking it at 300. I smoke a lot of stuff at 300, which people think is crazy, but you know, they want it to 220 or whatever. But I smoke it lower so that you're smoking without cooking it too fast, and then crank up the grill. Like this is a great, if you have a gas grill and a charcoal grill, you know, you get the smoke and the charcoal, you get a little pile of coals, just a little bit, just to have a lot of smoke in the chamber. And then when you get it up to say 110 internal temperature, use your little probe thermometer, crank up your gas grill to, you know, 800 degrees, sear the crap out of that thing. And then, you know, just give it a nice flavor crust. And now you get the smoke flavor and the nice flavor crust on the outside.
Yeah, and pull it right off, let it rest. You've got probably a nice internal temperature, probably 135, 140 around there.
That's right.
Medium rare. Yep.
And let it rest. Resting is important.
Let it rest. That's what people don't get. And resting, the meat's not going to get so cold you can't eat it. It's going to absorb so much more juices, you're going to enjoy it more. So, you know,
right.
For those people out there that think, but I like my steak hot. Well, you're going to have a puddle. You're going to be eating your steak
right.
in a puddle. It's not going to taste
the same. Second half of that steak is going to be dry.
Thanks for a wonderful show. My God, it just flies right by. So much information for people out there. Check out grillandcools.com, and if you're in the area, get out to that farmer's market and go eat some samples. Let's play Robo Drum, grind us out. See y'all next week.
Bye. Thanks for your stuff.
Thanks, Scott.
When you thought radio was safe. A new kind of radio is on its way. Food, music, and friends. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. 365 days a year. Coming in 2014.